it's Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another Mailbag Monday, where Angel and I take time and answer the many questions you've sent in to us. And so we try to select from the majority of the questions that have been asked. We think we put a good list together today. So, Angel, let's jump in and see what we've got.
All right, Joe, I want to witness to my family and share Jesus with them, but I don't know where to start. Please let me know if you have some advice.
Yes, I do. I've got some great advice. We got Spitfield, went to Bible school. We got out after 2 years of Bible school. We go home a couple of times a year and visit all of our family. All our family lived in East Tennessee. And we had witnessed every dog and cat and cousin. And then eventually, about 3 years, they stopped inviting us to come at Christmas. I mean, I called my mom and said, y'all having Christmas? Yeah. Well, I didn't get any invitation. Well, we thought probably y'all were busy. And I took the hint. And so I thought, you know, we're witnessing too much. We're just going there and serve. And so what we did, we went in and we went early. Didn't share Jesus with anybody. Went out and we showed up early, helped get the dinner ready. Vacuum, cleaned the toilets, you know. 1 year we mowed grass that had been mowed, and we just helped out around the house. And eventually, after a couple of 3 years, I think it took about another 3 years, they started asking us about the hope that's in us. And so we were outside by the garage, and I had a brother-in-law say, hey, you still do that Christian thing? I said, yeah. And keep your answers short. When somebody asks you, that they don't want to be overloaded.
They don't want to hear about the dimensions of the Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah, they don't. They don't want to hear about the end time. And so keep your answers short. So, will you still go to church? Yeah.
You know, the Bible says that the kindness of God leads men to repentance. And I think just to support what Joe's saying, I think that's exactly what you can do. I remember when I first got married, I was living in a duplex. We had this really grumpy neighbor. And she would bang on the walls all the time and everything. And I remember, you know, I just would want to bang back, but I wouldn't, but I would want to. But, and we were young, you know, so we always had a lot of young couples around. So we were probably louder than she would have liked us to be. And I remember it was my first Christmas there. No, Thanksgiving. And I wasn't going home to Florida. So I was in Washington State. And so we had a few friends that also were from the East Coast. And we were all going to spend Thanksgiving together. We're going to go. It was snowing outside. We were all excited. None of us had ever seen this much snow. And so we're going to go and we're going to go caroling. And we're going to take cookies and stuff. And I remember I was making pie, and in those days it was a rare thing for me to turn the stove on. So I'd never made a pie before, but I made, as I was getting ready to make it, the Lord spoke to me and told me to make two. And so I went next door, knocked on the door, gave her pie, and just told her, hey, you know what, I just wanted to tell you thank you for being such a great neighbor. And I just wanted to tell you, Merry, Happy Thanksgiving. And if you don't have anybody to spend Thanksgiving with, we'd sure like you to come join us. And she started to cry. And for several months, she totally changed, never banged on our wall again. And for many months, you know, if there's anything I could do for her, we're you know, our driveway is full of snow, let's shovel off her driveway as well, or her sidewalk and everything. And it changed, and it opened the door. Now, we didn't lead her to the Lord, but we were part of the seed planting process.
Yes.
And I believe that somebody came in behind us and drew in the nest, but it opened our heart. And that's what you want to do.
That's what you're trying to do.
Because you can't force somebody, but you can help open their heart.
If you serve them, they'll eventually ask you about the hope that's in you, and just keep your answers short. Like I said, all my relatives, I don't know how many we led to the Lord over the next several years, but they would just be a private conversation. Hey, can I ask you something? Can I ask you about Jesus? Sure. What do you want to know? And keep your answers short. Don't go into a 30-minute sermon. Keep it. I cannot stress that. keep it short. And they'll ask more questions. Keep it short. And they'll ask more questions. Keep it short. And eventually, well, how do I get saved? Well, just pray the simple prayer out of Romans 10, 9 and 10. And, give your heart to the Lord and get saved right here. I don't have to do it in church. No, you get saved right here on the back porch. You be born again. Have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so we had an opportunity to do that many times, but we had to stop shoving. We had to stop shoving. We had to start serving.
Yeah.
She said, you want to be great in my kingdom, become the servant of all. So it was a great revelation for us. So it worked.
Joe, I want to teach my children to be generous. Do you have any lessons you shared with your children that helped them to be selfless? I have a great lesson. Can I jump in on this one?
Yeah.
This was the easiest lesson I ever taught my child. My daughter was selfish, and she would not share anything, and she would snatch stuff out of my son's hands. And I told her, the next time I catch you not sharing that toy that you're touching, you're going to lose it forever. She goes, forever. And I said, forever. So she did it. I caught her. I just put her in the car, put my son in the car. We drove down to the Goodwill. Said, give them that toy because you're never going to see it again. And I'm not going to buy a replacement to that toy. You lost that one forever. And so she gave it away. She got a little bit better, but again, caught her again. Put her in the car, put my son in the car. Let's drive over to the Goodwill. She had to give it up again. Never had to do that again. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That child somehow learned through that lesson.
Powerful.
Giving. Mm-hmm. And like whenever her and I would bake cookies or anything, especially at Christmas time, she'd say, can we just take these to people that don't have cookies? Can I give some of my toys to people that don't have toys?
Yep.
You know, and she totally changed it. We did one time, one Christmas, we made a big batch of cookies, got a big bag of her toys, went to this lower income apartment complex, just knocked on the doors, and whoever answered, we just gave them some cookies and toy and want to say Merry Christmas. And we didn't give him a beat up toy, by the way. We gave him we cleaned it up.
That's right.
And we gave him something very nice. Yeah. But so it's teaching them. It, you know, being selfless is a choice, but it's not something that comes natural because we're born in this world. We don't have that natural instinct.
Nope.
So we have to kind of renew our minds. So
we're all I when we're born. We leave our mother's womb thinking about only us. And then mm-hmm. Children have to be taught and trained how to share. And so you got to do it in a calm way. You can't go yell and scream and threaten and count to 20 or count to 3. You don't count to nothing. Just stay calm like Angel did and just teach. You know, we had 6 kids. We go to the grocery store twice a week. And we go in, first place to go past the donut section. And I gave all my kids an allowance based on their age. Some kids got 50 cents a week. Some got $1 a week. Some got a little more as they got older, you know. And so we go by the donut section. And I remember one time we're going in, and my middle daughter, Corey, said, Dad, can I have a donut? I said, you got your money? She said, no, I left it at home. I said, well, you have to wait 2 weeks. We just kept walking. And so we came back 2 weeks later and came by the donut section, going in the front door of the grocery store. She said, Dad, can I have a donut? Got your money? Yeah, go ahead and get you one. We'll meet you over down the store. So my wife and I are walking down the aisles. We got about 2 or 3 aisles over. And Corey showed up. I said, where's your donut? She said, I didn't get one. I said, why? Didn't have any? Oh, yeah. Why didn't you get one? She said, they're too expensive. And it was a simple lesson, but a great lesson. Like, mom and daddy, not Santa Claus stuck on your back. We're all having to work to get this. We want to make good choices. We want to have fun with our money, you know, but be wise stewards of it. And so you got to learn how to share and how to spend and how to save. And so it's a great lesson, but it's not a one day, one time event. It's a lifetime event. You'll spend the rest of your life learning these lessons. But it's a great lesson to learn.
I remember one time it was Mother's Day and my son gave me the greatest compliment I've ever had in my life. And he said, I love you because you do what's right when nobody's looking.
Powerful.
And so if you're generous, your children will take that on.
Yes.
they will become generous. And so, but I would just recommend doing a couple things and just teaching them. It's a learned behavior, but it's a great one.
Yes.
All right. I'm telling the truth, y'all. Online church is so convenient, and I love being able to watch the service in my blanket. Is there something wrong with this? I have to say, we all got a little spoiled during that season in your pajamas. You know, it's 4 p.m. You're still in your pajamas. Yeah.
Yeah. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. That's New Testament. Now, there are many other scriptures, but no, a lot happens when you get together. You see one another. People will say things you cannot imagine that even know about it. God will use people to share stuff with you when you get in a public area like the local church. Plus, not just going to get that, it's also going to serve. Because when you serve, you grow. So your usher, your greeter, teach Sunday school, you know, your choir, you're serving in your local church. Well, you're going to learn a lot about serving too. Not everybody appreciates people that serve. Some people are going to misuse you and abuse you and talk bad about you and not like what you're saying or how you shook hands or whatever. So I tell people, learning how to serve helps several things. Number one, you learn several basic things about life. Bathe every day. Bathe. Put on some underarms, perfumes, some cologne. Brush your teeth. Use dental floss. Carry a packet of mints around with it so that you don't offend anybody because you're trying to represent Jesus. So we're trying not to offend. So let's do some carnal things, kind of clean up our act before we get started. And then to get in the middle of a group of people, smile. Smile because you don't know what they've been through. You don't know what kind of hell they've experienced this morning, who's yelled, who threw some at one another, what happened last night in the house. I've had kids in my Sunday school class. Can you pray for my mom and daddy? My daddy beat my mom up last night. You know, my mama's boyfriend come over and they got in a fight. And everybody's going through some kind of hell. So church, we're trying to save the lost, including our own people. So it's important that you serve in the local church and you show up in the local church and you don't forsake the assembling yourselves together. Sure, we've been there when the COVID thing hit. We had to stay home, couldn't go, couldn't have church service for 2 months. Like, you get lazy. Hey, let's just put my sweats on and not shave and have another pancake, you know? Put some more syrup on. I'm going to take me a nap here on the couch. And we all have flesh, and flesh loves to do nothing. Flesh wants to do nothing, serve nobody. And they got a bad habit. So when church finally started again, we were one of the first churches started back up in our city. And we were 6 feet apart, and everybody's got on the mask. But we went. And I remember we were driving to church, and I really don't want to go. I really don't want to go. I'm a minister. I really don't want to go. I'll stay on the couch and eat another pancake and have a donut, you know. But we went and we got in, and just even during worship, even just during where I thought, I was so excited,
I know,
convicted, condemned, just like God was messing with me. Like, he cleaned me out. And I left a better man that month. I thought, we're going to church after the door's open. We're not going to miss anymore. We're not missing nothing. Because God does something, you get in the middle of his presence. And so, yeah.
And I would also like to say that, or add that, sometimes we feel like that church is the pastor's church. That church, you know, but we don't take into account that is our church.
That's our church.
And when you're called to a church just like that pastor is.
Yes. Yes.
And so to me, it always makes me sad when people hop around to churches and all, because I think, you're going to hurt yourself if you keep doing that and you're not being led by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So
you get out of practice by being led by the Holy Spirit because you're not around people.
So
I don't have to be led. I'm not around anybody.
I get the convenience and I get the like, and yeah, I get the sleeping in, yeah, and everything else. I don't disagree with anything that you're saying, but like Joe's saying, it's a plus. You are part of that church. And if you don't show up and God has called you to be a part of that church, then somebody there's going to miss out.
That's
you
right.
And somebody that you could minister to.
You missed an opportunity to sow some seed that day, so the crop's going to get smaller.
Yeah. So the devil would love to get you more isolated.
That's right. He isolates.
That is his biggest tool that he uses. The first one, when anybody, you know, like when I went through divorce, that's the first thing I got. I just wanted to withdraw from everybody. When you know, that's such an easy place to go.
Yeah.
But it's not where God wants you to go. That's not what God ever intended for us, because we are part of a family.
Yes.
And the family needs to see you. So I would suggest you go to church.
Yeah. It'll be real good. You'll enjoy it.
I know. I really, like tonight we're going to go to church.
Yes, we are.
It's Wednesday night and we love our church.
We do.
So
we're not front row. We're like third row, but we're real close up front. And we walk past a lot of people who don't want to sit up front. Like, well, go ahead, leave that open. I like that front row seat.
Yeah. Guys, thank you so much for being with us. Once again, we love you so much. And we are so thankful that you're part of our Monday.
Yes.
You actually start our week off incredibly well. So we are believing God that this week will be a very special week for
yes.
you and your family.
Yes.
And just know that Joe and me.
Me and
Joe.
Me and Joe.
Whatever. See, both of my kids are English majors, and I was corrected for so many years during their college years. It got exhausting. But anyways,
we
love you very much.
Appreciate you so much.
Have a great day.
Bless you.
Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family, and we're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.